Good morning. I'm glad to be back with you. Brother Bill, I offered your greetings and greetings on behalf of our church to Emmanuel Baptist Church last Lord's Day, and they asked that they sent greetings to you as well. Please pray again with me. Oh, Holy Father, we thank you for the blessed occasion of the gathering of your people. We thank you for the promise of your Son that when we gather in his name, he'll be with us. Father, I pray that you would be with us this day and that you would give us what we need. Feed your sheep. Strengthen your people. Glorify your Son. Father, we thank you for the glory that was ascribed to your Son this morning in our Bible study hour. And thank you for Jesus. We bow before you in his name. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, saints, I hope to have a word of encouragement, even comfort to those in need. I want to talk to you this morning about starlight and sorrow and power and humility. Starlight and sorrow and power and humility. Please open your Bibles to the 147th division of the Psalms. The Bible's hymn book in hymn number 147. Our text for the morning will be verses 3 through 6, but let's read the psalm together. Please stand with me for the reading of Holy Scripture. The people of God sang, and they said, "Praise ye Jehovah, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. It is pleasant, and praise is comely. Jehovah doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Jehovah lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto Jehovah with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. Jehovah taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Praise Jehovah, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Jehovah." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture, and you may be seated. Well, our text for the morning is verses 3 through 6, which I read to you from the old King James Version, but let me reread these stanzas to you now from the New International Version. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. The Lord sustains the humble, but casts the wicked to the ground. Now, you know, in Hebrew poetry, and what is a psalm but a musical poem, you know that in Hebrew poetry, poets use various techniques: parallelism, antithesis, and figurative language. And in the four verses before us now, we see each of those. Note that the 147th Psalm is a psalm of praise. Every reference to He in this psalm in the English translation, every reference to He is a reference to God Almighty, to the Lord, Jehovah. So, with parallelism, antithesis, and figurative language in mind, listen again. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Jehovah lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Well, did you hear that? In verse 3, we learn of our God that He is physician, psychiatrist, nurturer, healer. Physician, psychiatrist, nurturer, healer. In verse 4, He is accountant, astronomer, elocutionist, nomenclaturist. In verse 5, He is almighty, sovereign, and omniscient. And in verse 6, He is the uplifter of the humble and the downcaster of the proud. Now, when God became incarnate and walked the earth as a man, He spoke to those who criticized the company that He kept. And He said to them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." Matthew 9:12. Why do you hang out with harlots and drunkards and tax collectors? They that are whole don't need a doctor. The sick need a physician. Listen, friend, Jesus is our great physician. Jesus, the great physician, cast out a legion of demons from the Gadarene demoniac. And the Bible says that after this was done, those in the city came out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see Him who was possessed with the devil that had the legion sitting and clothed and in His right mind. And they were afraid. Mark 5:14. Eric, I can't but remember when I was a teenager hearing a preacher say, when God gets to work on them, they'll sit down, they'll put their clothes back on, and they'll get right in their mind. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7. Jesus, listen, Jesus is our great physician. He is our psychiatrist. He is our wonderful counselor. Isaiah 9:6. When He walked the dusty paths of Palestine, the Holy Scriptures say he healed all that were sick. Matthew 8:16. Now, this doesn't mean that Jesus healed every single sick person alive when he was there. That's not what it means. People brought sick people to him, and he healed all of them. Listen. People brought sick people to him, and he healed all of them. None were too sick for him. Alpha, beta, gamma, lambda, delta variant, no matter what. No matter what variant of sin or sickness, Jesus healed it all. Dr. Luke was amazed by all this. And he records it this way. He healed them that had need of healing. That's what Dr. Luke writes. Luke 9:11. Physician, psychiatrist, healer, nurturer. In the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the evangelist records, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have had nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. And the disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and broke them and gave them to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude. Matthew 15:32-39. Friend, Jesus is our nurturer. And did you hear what it was that moved him to nurture? Compassion. Compassion. Jesus had compassion. God had compassion on the hungry, on the faint. He healeth the broken in heart. He bindeth up their wounds. He is our physician, our psychiatrist, our nurturer, our healer. From the very beginning, the number of the stars was meant to evoke wonder, awe, humility. When God took that pagan Abram up out of the Ur of the Chaldees and made him into the first Jew, God said to him, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, or count the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Genesis 15:5. Now, I don't want to read something into the text of Holy Scripture that's not there, but I think the implication of the text is that Abram couldn't count that high. If he had stayed up all night long and counted as high as he could count, he would have lost count. He would have become frustrated, and ultimately, he must proclaim, lo, a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. Lord, I can't count that high. When the Almighty contended with righteous Job, answering him out of the whirlwind. God asked him, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazzaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven?" Job 38, verses 31 through 33. "Job, do you know the names of the stars? Can you move the constellations in their orbits? Can you make the zodiac show the future and when to plant? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? What do you know, Job?" Listen, this is from an article in the Canadian scientific journal Space. And the article is entitled, "How Many Stars Are in the Universe?" Listen. In October 2016, an article in Science, based on deep field images from the Hubble Space Telescope, suggested that there are about 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, or about 10 times more galaxies than previously suggested. In an email with Live Science lead author Christopher Consilience, a professor of astrophysics at the University of Nottingham in the United Kingdom, he said there were about 100 million stars in the average galaxy. You know, when you average those. And skipping quite a bit to the end of the article, listen to the conclusion. Konarich used a very rough estimate of 10 trillion galaxies in the universe. Multiplying that by the Milky Way's estimated 100 billion stars results in a very large number indeed. And then it's a 1 with 24 zeros after it. 1 septillion in the American numbering system. 1 quadrillion in the European system. Konarich emphasized that this number is likely a gross underestimation, as more detailed looks at the universe will show even more galaxies. My friends, Abram didn't even have a telescope. But he couldn't even count the stars that he could see. Abram didn't know. Job didn't know. And friend, you and I don't know. You think you know a lot. You don't. But Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of David, the Son of the living God, listen, he telleth the number of the stars, and he calleth them all by their names. He's the chief accountant, the good accountant, the elocutionist. He calls them, the nomenclaturist. He names them. He does to the stars what he does to his sheep. He numbers them and he calls them by their names. Listen, God hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, by whom also he made the worlds. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2. And the Greek word translated worlds there is aeon, alternately translated the universe. Listen, it includes the stars. It includes the stars. The first Adam, the Son of God, according to Luke, the first Adam named the animals. The second Adam Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, named the stars. And according to the psalm here, they all have names. Every one of them. He knows exactly how many there are. And he named all of them. So listen. Listen. When he numbers the hairs of your head, well, that's easy. That's easy. Not a quadrillion. Beloved, do you understand this? Sometimes I despair of understanding. But I believe it. I don't believe in randomness. I don't believe in fate. I don't believe in chance. No arbitrary takes. But by faith, I believe. By faith, I understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, I understand. David sang, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. They understand? David's question is a question of God's interest. He's querying the Almighty, and he's asking, how could you, the one who made the moon and all the stars, how could you, a person, a being so great that nothing I can see exists apart from you having made it, how could you care about me? How could you take an interest in me? But beloved, he does. He does. And the God who telleth the number of the stars and calleth them all by their names is the same God who healeth the brokenhearted and bindeth up their wounds. The God of verse 4 is the same God of verse 3. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the holy name of Jesus. The God that spoke what is into existence cares for me. You need some self-esteem? There you go. But look there to verse 5, beloved. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Do you understand? After his resurrection out of death, but before his ascension, Jesus spoke to his beloved disciples, and he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and in earth." Matthew 28, 18. All power. Now, when I was a younger man, there used to be talk of superpowers. And the talk wasn't about comic book characters or science fiction heroes. Superpowers was a reference to nation states and their ability to project power, to dominate and suppress, even to colonize and possess other peoples and nations and lands. Superpowers. Well, If we've learned anything in the last week, it's how paltry is the power of a so-called superpower. After the botched and bungled exit, if they go back in there and try to get the American citizens out, they're going to shoot us with our own guns. And listen, friend, American pride is not that much different than Chaldean pride. And would to God that our American leaders could learn the lesson that the great Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar learned. And you remember he wrote, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." Daniel 4, verse 37. You know, from time to time, flashes of light from the heavenly realm break through to earth, and blessed are those who have eyes to see. Friend, if you have eyes to see, see. If you have ears to hear, hear. Beloved, all over the world, Jesus is in control. All power over earth and heaven has been given to Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, our King, and He wields that power. He is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and from there He reigns, and all of His enemies are being put beneath His feet. If you put your confidence in man, listen to me, if you put your confidence in man, you will be disappointed. If you put your trust in Jesus, all appointments will be kept. No disappointments. Oh, saints, listen. Kiss the Son. Kiss the Son again. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry, and thou perish in the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Psalm 2, verse 12. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. There is a divine plan conceived in the council chambers of eternity before the world began. In consultation with Himself, the Godhead, the Pluralis Majestatis, the royal we, the Holy Trinity, hath decreed in Himself from all eternity by the most wise and holy counsel of His own will, freely and unchangeably, all things whatsoever cometh to pass. Yet so as thereby God is neither the author of sin, nor hath fellowship with any therein, nor is violence offered to the will of the creature, nor yet is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established, in which appears His wisdom in disposing all things, and power and faithfulness in accomplishing His decree. Chapter 3, paragraph 1, London Baptist Confession of Faith, 1689. And God, the good Creator of all things, in His infinite power and wisdom, upholdeth, directeth, disposeth, governeth all creatures and all things, from the greatest even unto the least, by His most wise and holy providence, to the end for the which they were created, according to His infallible knowledge and the free and immutable counsel of His own will, to the praise of the glory of His wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. Chapter 5, paragraph 1, London Baptist Confession, 1689. Now, brothers and sisters, listen, I don't think that I need to sell you on the doctrine of the absolute sovereignty of God and the omniscience of God, do I? Not in this church, at least not doctrinally, because these are foundational beliefs in our church. But, I may need to remind you. I may need to remind you, because when things appear to our fleshly eyes to be, quote, out of control, so-called superpowers ravaged by invisible viruses, once respected institutions no longer trusted at all, compromised, economies wrecked, sodomy extolled, neighbors angry at neighbors over face masks. We need to remember, saints, listen, we need to remember there is really only one superpower. And don't we know him? There is only one superpower, and we know him. The final verse of our text passage is this: Jehovah lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Psalm 147, verse 6. Now, this entire psalm coheres. As we noted, it's a psalm of praise. But in this little section that we've chosen as our text today, it's almost as if verse 6 is a conclusion that we should draw from what's gone before. Instead of just a statement of fact, which it is, but instead of just a statement of fact, what if we saw it as an exhortation? Listen to it this way. In light of the fact that Jesus is our physician, psychiatrist, nurturer, healer, in light of the fact that he created, counted, and named every star, in light of the fact that he has all power and all knowledge, let us be meek. Let us be humble. Let us look to him to sustain us and to lift us up. What if we looked at it like that? It's definitely a statement of fact, but I think there's an exhortation for us there. The apostolic writer James instructs the saints, saying, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." James 4:10. And though not a quotation, I wonder, is that an alliteration? Or is it just the same doctrine as the psalmist? Because Psalm 147 verse 6 teaches that God lifts up the meek, that God sustains or upholds the humble. So listen, if you would be uplifted by God, be meek, be mild, humble yourself before the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And saints, final phrases, just remember this. Some of y'all are like me. Just remember this. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. I've told you this before. Ain't nobody getting away with nothing. Look there to the end of the verse. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. There's a traditional American folk song that I became acquainted with through the great Johnny Cash. You may have heard it, but the chorus goes like this. You can run along for a long time. You can run along for a long time. You can run along for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. Sooner or later, God will cut you down. And Johnny could sing it much better than I can, but the message of the song is there's a payday someday. And just as sure as God made black and white, what's done in the dark will be brought to the light. You can run along for a long time, but sooner or later, God will cut you down. Listen, beloved, if the Taliban massacre the Afghani Christians, understand, they will not get away with it. Because he casteth the wicked down to the ground. In the long run, they won't get away with it. Wrath burns hot against the violators, and everyone will fall. Justice rightly executed against them, one and all. Heads will roll and blood will spill, and fire it will burn till total justice is achieved and payments had in full. Christians are explicitly forbidden from taking vengeance. Writing to the first century believers, some of whom may have encountered lions, the great apostle commands, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Rather, give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord." Romans 12, verse 19. It's okay for you to get mad about it. I think it's what he said. Give place to wrath, but don't act on that. Am I interpreting that right? It's okay for you to get mad about it. Give place to wrath, but do not avenge yourself. And Paul's quotation is from Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, where the Almighty says, "To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things that shall come upon them make haste." It's not quick enough, Lord. It's coming. Due time. Their foot shall slide. God will cut them down. If C.S. Lewis was with us, Tim, he'd probably say, "God will set all to rights. But friend, I remind you, ain't nobody getting away with nothing. The wicked can run along for a long, long time, but sooner or later, God will cut them down. And saints, that's how you're supposed to deal with the bile that rises in your throat when you see injustice. Pray. The Lord healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground." Be encouraged. Be comforted. The same God that numbers and names the stars heals the broken in heart and lifts up the humble. Praise ye the Lord. 'Tis good to raise our hearts and voices in His praise. His nature and His works invite to make this duty our delight. The Lord builds up Jerusalem and gathers nations to His name. His mercy melts the stubborn soul and makes the broken spirit whole. He formed the stars, those heavenly flames. He counts their numbers, calls their names. His wisdom's vast and knows no bounds, a deep where all great thoughts are found. Great is our Lord, and great His might, and all His glories infinite. He crowns the meek, rewards the just, and treads the wicked to the dust. Sing to the Lord, exalt Him high, who spreads His clouds all round the sky. Then He prepares the fruitful rain, nor lets the drops descend in vain. He makes the grass the hills adorn, and clothes the smiling fields with corn. The beast with food His hands supply, and the young ravens when they cry. What is the creature's skill or force? The sprightly man, the warlike horse, the nimble wit, the active limb, are all too mean delights for Him. But saints are lovely in His sight. He views His children with delight. He sees their hope, He knows their fears, and looks and loves His image there. Please stand with me for prayer. Let us pray. O Spirit of God, help my infirmities. When I am pressed down with a load of sorrow, perplexed, not knowing what to do, slandered or persecuted, made to feel the weight of the cross, help me. Help me, I pray Thee. If Thou seest in me any wrong thing encouraged, any evil desire cherished, any delight that is not Thy delight, any habit that grieves Thee, any nest of sin in my heart, then grant me the kiss of Thy forgiveness and teach my feet to walk the way of Thy commandments. Deliver me from care and make me a happy and holy person. Help me to walk a life to You with firm and brave step, and to wrestle successfully against my weaknesses. Teach me to laud, adore, and magnify Thee with the music of heaven, and make me a perfume of praiseful gratitude to Thee. I crouch not at Thy feet as a slave before a tyrant, but I exult before Thee as a son with a loving father. Oh, give me power to live as Thy child in all my actions and to exercise my sonship by conquering myself. Preserve me from the intoxication that comes of prosperity. Sober me when I am glad with a joy that comes from Thee. Lead me safely on to Thy eternal kingdom, not asking whether the road be rough or smooth. I request only to see the face of Him I love, to be content with bread to eat, with raiment to put on, if I can be brought to Thy house in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.